Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
A huge welcome if you're new. It is so good to have you. We love to have new people join us here at Soul Church. My name is Steve, and I've been loving our new series. Not serious. We don't get serious, do we? Our new series, With God, All Things Are Possible. And I love Pastor John's message last week, Cut the Butt. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it. It'll equip you, empower you. He was on good form this morning, wasn't he? I don't know whether he's been on the Red Bull, but man, there's some life in this place. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning. And I'm believing it's going to change your life, what God wants to say to you. How many believe that when God speaks, it can change you forever? Can change you, can change your family. So come on, we're going to pray. We're not going to go through emotion. We're going to stir up a little bit of faith. We're going to open our hearts and we're going to believe God this morning, because with God, all things are possible. So put your hand on your heart. Come on, really mean this, wherever you're listening to. Jesus, right now, we are ready to receive. We need you more than ever. So right now, I'm listening. And I'm focused. Would you speak to us through your word? And if you really meant that, why don't you say, amen, amen. So come on in the room, you can take your seats. You at home, sit down. I'm sure you already were anyway. And let's get ready for the words. Pastor John last week announced, come for a cuddle Sunday. Who is looking forward to that one? I am, all right. Come on in the chat. If you would love to be here and come for a cuddle Sunday, give me a little mention. Now, some of you are thinking, I would hate that. You're not cuddlers. So in the chat, if you don't want to be here, you can say that too. It's good to know who the cuddlers are and who isn't, all right? So there you go. February 2002 was the first time Rach and I went to a beach in Australia. We went to the stunning DY Beach in the northern beaches of Sydney. It was February, so the sky was blue. It was the middle of the summer there in the southern hemisphere. The sky was blue, the sand was golden, the air was hot, and the sea was warm. Who would like to be there right now? It was a perfect day. We'd flown in from a long, cold, dark English summer. I'd eaten a few too many mince pies, and as I stripped off in my bright yellow boardies, I felt a little bit self-conscious. I was looking around at all these fit, muscly, tanned Aussies who were gazing at my pale, pommy physique. I just wanted to get off that beach, so I decided to go into the water. And when you go into an Australian beach for the first time, you're looking for sharks, you're looking for box jellyfish. I was a little bit tentative, but eventually I got in there. 22 degrees, the water. It was perfect. And I'm just kind of hanging out, having a look around, and I noticed this group of young people playing a game. And the game was called Over and Under. Now, in Redcar Beach, where I grew up, you couldn't stay in the sea long enough. It was so freezing cold. So I'd never seen this game, so I'm watching it. And one of the young people would shout, either over or under. If it was over, you had to jump over the wave, obviously. If it was under, you ducked under the wave. And they were playing this game, and I thought, that's fun. And then this huge set of waves rolled in. And one of them shouted over, and these young kids tried to jump over it. But I watched as this huge wave smashed on this girl of about 10 years old. Knocked her down, it knocked her back. Another wave comes, someone else shouts over, and smack, for a second time it took her out. She'd been about 20 yards ahead of me, and now all of a sudden she was literally right next to me. She stood up out of the water, and I could tell she looked scared. She looked at me, and then she looked at another wave that was coming in, because waves come in sets of 10. And when she looked at that wave, it was the biggest one yet. And I could see fear, and I could see tears in her eyes. And instinctively, I reached out my hand to this girl, and she took hold of it. And when that wave came crashing down, I lifted her up, and we got over, and another one came, and I lifted it up, and we got over, and then the set had gone, and she said, "Thank you so much." She swam back to be with her friends. Wonder whether you've ever felt like that girl. The wave after wave is coming crashing down on you. And if you're honest, you've tuned in this morning and maybe there's fear. Maybe there's been tears. But I've got good news for you this morning. We don't have to be afraid because you are near. You may have had some knockbacks and setbacks, but it's only taken you back to the place where he is. And right now he's reaching out his hand and he wants to lift you and hold you and strengthen you. Come on, who's sick of going under on the chat? Who's ready to go over? I want to preach a message this morning. It's called this, getting good at getting over. Who wants a bit of that? Getting good at getting over. I believe that's one clap. That's cool on the front row. Thank you for that, sweetheart. Getting good at getting over. It says in John 16, 33, I don't know whether you've been around the city and seen this because we've put it on billboards all around the city. We might have a picture of that. I love it. It's this scripture. In this world, you will have trouble. There's going to be a few waves. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, we can get good at getting over. So number one, get good at getting over your fears. Your fears. Isaiah 41 verse 10. This is for some of you this morning. Come on, look at me. Get ready to write this down. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. That's right, you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I mean, that's powerful enough, but three verses later it says this again, because sometimes we don't get it the first time. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Come on, thank God that he's with you. Thank God that he's there in the wave. Thank God that his right hand will extend towards you and lift you, strengthen you. That's how you're going to get good at getting over. You need to write these verses down, some of you. Meditate on them, memorize them, mention them. What is impossible with man is possible with God. You can get good at getting over. Number two, get good at getting over. Number one, your fears. Number two, your foes. Your foes. How many know we're in a battle? Pastor John talked about it this morning. One man who was really good at getting over was Joseph. You read about the first half of his life. It looks like wave after wave after wave comes crashing down on him. Rejected by his brothers and human trafficked into Egypt. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. Forgotten by the butler. Time after time, these waves of hurt and pain. But he's incredibly good at getting over, and he ends up in a position of incredible favor as the prime minister of Egypt. God laid this scripture on my heart for our church, and I believe for you and your family. I actually felt it was a word for Pastor John. In fact, just come and stand 2 meters over here. I'm going to share this with you. It says in verse 22 of Genesis 49, says, Joseph is a fruitful bough bought by a well. His branches run over the wall. He's fruitful. And it runs over the wall. Walls speak of limitation. Walls speak of confinement and restriction. And there have been walls sometimes around churches in Britain, but God has called you to be so fruitful, you run over walls, your fruitfulness extends. Now, if some of you are reading your Bibles, you might see that where that first bit, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. This is interesting, John, because it actually, you'll see a footnote. And it says, it can also be translated as a wild donkey. Now, I'm not suggesting you are a donkey, but I am going to suggest when you were young, you were a little bit wild. How many know that? But how amazing that God takes something that's wild to take us over a wall. And it goes on and it says this, the archers had bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. And sometimes you faced opposition that most people don't know about. People have taken shots at you. It's not easy being in leadership. You take hits that people don't realize. But look at this, verse 24. But his bow remained in strength. And it says the arms of his hands were made strong. There's been times when you felt weak, but you kept strong, you kept faithful, and you didn't take your eye off the target. And God is saying to you, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. Think of a kid that's learning to do archery and they get steady. And then what an archer does is he comes alongside and he takes the strain. And God is saying that my hands have been there with you, strengthening your hands. And God is going to continue to do that. And then it goes on and says, the God of your father will help you. The Almighty will bless you with blessings from heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath. If you read those verses, it's not just for John, it's for some of you. God is going to pour out such blessing. Why? Because you remained faithful. You stayed strong. You were good at getting over, and God is going to bless you. Now, John, you can take your seat because it's embarrassing standing there, but listen to this. How many sons, put this in the chat, Graham Hollinger, I'm expecting big things. How many sons did Jacob have? Does anybody know? He had 10. How many tribes of Israel were there? 12. So if he only had 10 sons, where did the other two come from? Here's what God did to Joseph. He said, because you stayed strong, you didn't get bitter, you pushed through, I am going to bless you, and not just you, I'm going to bless your sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. In other words, Joseph got a double portion blessing. All the other brothers only got one blessing. He got himself and his sons. And I believe that some of you, you have stayed strong. You didn't get better. God is going to bless you. He is going to give you a double portion. Jesus' name. Maybe you're thinking, Steve, right now I don't feel very blessed. Maybe you've lost someone to COVID. Maybe you're a single mom or single dad and you're struggling with homeschool. Kids are driving you nuts. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're facing mental health challenges. Maybe you moved to this country from another nation to provide for your family, but it hasn't worked out. You're missing your family. You've experienced prejudice or hate. Maybe you're a teenager struggling with anxiety. Emotionally, you feel like you're being smashed by wave after wave. Feel like you're losing control. So number one, you've got to get good at getting over your fears. Number two, get good at getting over your foes. Number three, get good at getting over your feelings. If you notice how feelings come in waves. When I lost my dad a few years ago, one day I'd be fine, the next day, another wave. Something triggers. Maybe it's loss, maybe it's anxiety, whatever it is, but you know what it is to feel battered. When we're in Australia, we always loved the beach, but we fell in love with it. And I learned to bodyboard, which is a lot like surfing, but for wimps. And we've actually got some guys in our church, and they've got a surf group. In fact, after me, Colin Howell is going to come up and receive the giving, and he's an incredible surfer. He is like the real deal. In fact, we've got a picture of him and Phil Lee, one of our worship leaders out at Cromer. I don't know whether you can see that on the screen, but that's them. That's Colin standing up, and that's Phil Lee about to get smashed. I think that was at Overstrand, all right? But when you learn to surf, there are three phases. Number one is when you rock up at the beach, you got your board, you're ready to go, conditions are perfect, you are excited, you're standing, looking out. That's position one. Position two is when you actually dive into the waves. And you get hit, you get smashed. It's called the crash zone. It's where the waves come crashing down. That's position two. It's a scary place. But the position I love the most is position three. That's when you punch through the waves. You get good at getting over and you get out the back. And man, it's awesome when you're out the back. You can just relax. You can catch a few rays. Man, I'm picturing Noosa looking at the tea trees and koalas. I remember me and Dave Field once in Avalon. Literally, dolphins started popping up around. It's a great place to be. It's where everybody wants to get to. Position one, position two, position three. I wonder this morning, where are you at? I wonder in the chat whether you'd say I'm in position one or position two or position three. Truth is, most of us in this season, we feel like we're in position two. We're in that place where the waves, the knockbacks just have kept coming and coming. It's the place where it can be scary. And this week I read an article online. I think you might see it on the screen. It said this, it got my attention. It says, why your most important relationship is with your inner voice. And that got my attention. Don't actually believe it is. Your most important relationship is your relationship with God. But actually, this relationship is incredibly important. And it was advertising a brand new book by a guy called Ethan Cross, an American psychologist and neuroscientist from Michigan University. And his area of expertise is the science of introspection. He has spent decades studying the silent conversations we have with ourselves that can powerfully influence how we live our lives. In particular, he and his colleagues have studied this question. When emotions crash down on people, why do some people benefit from turning inwards to understand their feelings? But other people, when they go inward, they get a little bit too introverted and they can start to get down and even more depressed and become victims. Why is it that for some people it works and for some people it makes it worse? He studied that question. And in his book, it's called Chatter, The Voice in Our Head and How to Harness It. He talks about this concept to help you. It's called temporal distancing. Turn to the person next to you and say, what is that? If you're living on your own, ask the cat. Temporal distancing. Say, what's that, Steve? Temporal distancing is when you see yourself from a future perspective. He calls it jumping into a mental TARDIS. Now, every surfer knows that when you're in zone two, the crash zone, one of the best things you can do is picture being out of the back. In other words, you temporal distance. You see yourself from a future perspective. If you want to get good at getting over, you have to see yourself from the future. Here's what I love. Jesus, friend, he's already in your future. Look at this billboard again. Take heart. I have already overcome the world. He's already punched through the waves and got to the back. And he's already reaching out and giving you instruction as to how you can get there too. He's really good at getting over. Jesus is saying you will have tribulation. But if you start to get obsessed and focused on everything that is going on around you, it would say you will lose heart. But the verse doesn't end there. Some of you have got to cut back on how many hours you're watching the news. Because if all you do is look at the size of the waves, you're going to lose heart. But what he says is, be of good cheer. Take heart. I have overcome the world. You've got to look at yourself from a future perspective. I love the word overcome. It's a cool word. To overcome. Wonder what area of your life you need to come over. What challenge? And John, who also wrote the last book of the Bible, it's called the Book of Revelation. At this time, he's a political prisoner on an island called Patmos. The early church is facing a tsunami of persecution. I mean, literally, the early church, it was wave after wave. From Augustine to Nero and now Diocletian and later Domitian. Hundreds of years of waves of persecution. And in this stunning apocalyptic narrative, the book of Revelation does one thing. It empowers us to temporal distance. To look from the future. From the perspective of the greatest overcomer of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at it. Revelation 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus. I love that. When you look at this book, you've got to look and see Jesus. And then it says, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Things that are ahead of us. In verse 8, Jesus goes on and he introduces himself to the readers. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. Have you ever noticed three different ways he gets us to see that he's in our now and he's in our future, temporal distance? Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, who was and is to come. And as we go into the next chapters, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he speaks to 7 churches. He's speaking to us today in our church. And at the end of each message, he says this, to him who overcomes. The great theme of the book of Revelation is this word, overcome. Get good at getting over. Jesus is the ultimate overcomer, and he's equipping us with the tools we need to overcome. Revelation 2, 7, it says, this is just one of them, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. It's like a Daniel fast, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It's talking there, the last book of the Bible, taking us back to the first book of the Bible, where we ate from the tree of life. God saying, everything that I originally intended, you're gonna get back. If you will only hang in there, friend. If you'll only get good at getting over, you'll enjoy all that God has for you. And I don't have time to go through the whole book, but if you were to spring to the end of the book, chapter 19, man, this is Lord of the Rings stuff. It's incredible. Talks about how he rides on a white horse, and on his head are many crowns. Why? Because he's faced many battles and he's won many victories, and so there are many crowns. He's good at getting over. It says he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. That's the cross. And his name is called the Word of God, verse 13. An incredible description. And out of his mouth goes negativity, whinging, complaining. No, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. It's the Word of God. Jesus is revealed as the embodiment of the Word. And out of his mouth goes the Word. Verse 19 describes how at Armageddon, the beast and the evil kings of the earth, They gather to make war against him, but he casts them into a lake of fire. He emerges totally triumphant. As Pastor John said, he holds up the cup. We win. He is the cosmic conqueror. He is very good at getting over. Hope you're cheering at home. And as the team come up, one more scripture in Revelation chapter 12, it says, the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night. Come on, how many of you have met that accuser? Day and night. Night, he whispers in your ear and he says, you're no good. You're never going to make it. Who do you think you are? The accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. I love that. The one who has been making you downcast for so long has been cast down. The condemner has been condemned. They overcame him. Say, Steve, how did they do it? It says they, it's not talking about God anymore, it's talking about believers. They overcame him. You think, how did they do it? How do we put this into practice on our Monday? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's why communion is so important. It doesn't start with what you do. It starts with what he has already done. And on the cross, he says, it is finished. Take heart, I have overcome. That's what he does. It's the blood of the Lamb. And then secondly, by the word of their testimony. You know, your words are incredibly powerful. When what comes out of your mouth lines up with what comes out of his mouth, then you'll start to see the same results that he has. You will find you can cast down the one who's been making you so downcast, not because you are good, but because his word is in your mouth. This is the secret to casting down. Instead of being downcast, you will learn to cast down. On October the 30th, 1974, 60,000 people crammed into a stadium in Kinshasa, in Zaire. And 1 billion people tuned in online to see the greatest boxing fight the world had ever seen, the Rumble in the Jungle, between the world heavyweight champion, George Foreman, and the challenger, Muhammad Ali, the former champion. Foreman was younger, he was stronger, he had never been beaten. He had biceps like Mark Hollinger, he was a sight to behold. The first 7 rounds, George Foreman literally pounded him. If you watch the fight, Foreman spent most of the time on the ropes, absorbing blow after blow. In fact, one of the commentators started to get worried, a very experienced commentator, and he said, Ali could actually die in this. And George Foreman, in his own words, describes how in the 7th round, he landed a punch on Muhammad Ali's jaw. And he thought he'd broken his jaw and he might have even killed him. It was such a hard punch. And then something changed the course of that fight. Muhammad Ali took hold of George Foreman and he said this. He said, that all you got, George? That all you got? Muhammad Ali's words sucked the very life out of George Foreman. And in the very next round, Muhammad Ali knocked Foreman out. Your words are very powerful. In 2020, the enemy has had us on the ropes. He's thrown every type of punch he can at us. Lockdowns, virus, death, mental hell, political unrest in the USA. Single mom, you've been doing it tough. Homeschooling, you name it. Punch after punch. Some of you are so amazing because you look the enemy in the eye and you've been saying, is that all you got? And I think there's good news because round 8 is coming. You're gonna knock him out. Gonna knock him out. Is that all you got? You're still standing. Dick Angia, the enemy went after your knee again. You got that rat bag disease when you're in hospital. Thank God you're coming home on Tuesday. You stood up again. Some of you got good at getting over. We've got to get good at getting over. There may be one or two more waves coming crashing down upon us. Friend, if God be for you, who can be against you? Say to someone, I'm going to make it through. Say to the cat, I'm going to make it through if you're on your own. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So finish this message. There's one more detail in the book of Revelation. It's right at the end. The final chapter. Never seen this before. And the enemy has been defeated. Jesus has conquered death, the devil, and the grave. He's got himself over and he's lifted us up over every wave. He reveals something so amazing, so beautiful. It says in Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. He's always making things new, things beautiful. But look at this. Look at what it says. It says, and there was no more sea. No more waves. No more waves crashing down on you. No more fear intimidating you. No more struggling, striving. And says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The same hands that reached out to you in the waves. The same hands that hung on a cross and were pierced. Those same hands are going to wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death if you've lost someone. No more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Jillian, you'll see Mary. Gordon, you'll see Poppy. Margaret, you'll see David. With his own hands, he's going to wipe away every tear. Why? Because you're good at getting over. You're going to get through this. He has an incredible future for you. We're all going to get through it, guys. Keep holding his hand. Maybe you're here this morning tuned in and you've never read the book of Revelation. You don't understand a lot of the things that I've been talking about. The one thing you need to know, friend, is he loves you. He's got a great future for you. If you are not in a right relationship with God, the greatest thing you can do is to get right with him. Life is always going to throw waves at you. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be pain. You know what the truth is? None of us can make it through without his help, without his hand. And this morning, his hand is reached out to you. So I want to offer you the invitation. Would you take hold of his hand? Say, Steve, how do I do that? Friend, you pray a prayer. You invite him to come into your life. He will forgive you of your past. He'll give you strength for whatever you're facing today. And he'll give you this incredible future for your tomorrow. He sees you, friend. He loves you. So why don't you pray this prayer? Invite him to the center of your heart. So if you want to get right with God, you pray this prayer. Maybe you've drifted away from God. This morning, you can get right again. Tonight, if you're listening in an evening, you can get right now. So why don't you pray this prayer in your heart? Come on, let's all put our hands on our heart. Repeat this from there. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you that you love me so much. Thank you that you're for me. Thank you that you promised to help me, to hold me, to strengthen me. I acknowledge that right now I need you. So would you come into my heart? Please come in. Please help me. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to live for you with your help and strength from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, honestly, I prayed that prayer in this church when I was 13. It transformed me. This is the start of a new journey. You've taken the first step. We want to help you to take the next and the next. So I'd ask you, you'll see there's details on the screen and in the chat. Why don't you call that number? Why don't you send that email? That allows us to just get the right information, the right help to you. We want to pray for you, congratulate you. One of the great things that we want to help you with is to start to read the Bible. So you can do that on the screen. You'll see that there's ways you can download it online. If you were here, we'd give you one, but we can't. So download it. So start to read the Bible. There's a link on our billboards around the city. There's some really cool ways to help you read the Bible. But then lastly, stay connected to church. Just keep coming. I noticed our bass player, I've forgotten your name, old mate, Matt, but I think you started coming in the middle of lockdown. He's hardly ever been in the building, but he's got himself connected, part of the family, and now he's on the base. So we want to get you connected, friend. So let us know that you're here. God's got great things for you.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.